Stay down. Final warning.
I could do this all day.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemrov, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm sorry. We shouldn't start over, but I just want to point out that Angie was making faces at me to try to get
you
me to break.
You both were making faces.
I was trying to take this very seriously. What is wrong with you? Be a professional, Christy.
Oh, God, I'm the fucking Jimmy Fallon of this podcast. You know how much that sucks to realize?
Well, today we have a very serious topic to talk about because it is a huge, huge movie, of the weekend, huge movie of the year. We are going to devote our entire episode to Captain America: Civil War. The first 10 minutes of the podcast will be a spoiler-free review of the movie, and then we will give you a warning and we're going to jump into spoilers for the second half. So Christy's going to take the lead on this one. Do you want to jump into the synopsis?
Here is the IMDb plot synopsis for Captain America: Civil War.
You sounded like Mr. Movie Phone.
Yeah, right? I'm auditioning right now.
Now people are going to know how old we are because I don't think Mr. Movie Phone has been a thing in like
No, I met Mr. Movie Phone. They have like a new one. He's kind of like hot. I met him at some like YA event a couple of years ago. Anyway.
Whoa. Is this like when the Hamburglar turned hot and everyone was like, why?
No. He was just a handsome young man who, I was going to say, wears fedoras, but then I know how that sounds. But like, he made them work. We are so off the rails already. I'm going to.
Do we want to just start over, honestly? This is getting dumber and dumber.
And I'm all for it, but do you want to start over or should I just say what Civil War is?
I think you should just say what Civil War is.
All right, let's go in. Welcome to the show, guys. So political interference in the Avengers activities causes a rift between former allies, Captain America and Iron Man.
That is such a dry description.
It is. But I mean, what's interesting is that like, so this was like a bunch of comics in the Marvel Universe, and I actually got very bored by the comics because I didn't understand a lot of the characters they were bringing in. And so when they said they were going to adapt that story to the MCU, I didn't understand how they were going to even attempt to do that. But I actually think the way they did it works fairly well for the world they set up. I really enjoyed Captain America: Civil War. I've actually already seen it twice. Yeah, that was just me just bragging, Angie. Deal. No, but I really enjoyed this movie. It's the Russo brothers who did Captain America Winter Soldier. And Age of Ultron got a lot of criticism because it felt like too many threads. This one has a lot of threads, but I think they're woven together better. And I think that has to do more with the Russos having worked on Happy Endings. I think they know how to kind of interweave like a sitcom would and less like a film would. That's my theory on this. But I really enjoyed this. As you guys might remember, when we covered the trailer for this movie months ago, I had not watched it until like right before we recorded. And I was genuinely so upset to watch characters I really have come to care about fight each other. It was really distressing. And I think the film makes the best use of that, where not only is it really exciting to watch things like, you know, there's like, I think you've seen in the trailers, Ant-Man shrinking down and fucking up Tony's suit from the inside and things like that. But it's also emotionally really riveting because I do and I don't want Captain America and Tony and Iron Man to fight. Because like visually it's really exciting, but emotionally it rips my poor Avengers loving heart out.
They do a really good job presenting both sides of the situation too. Like, this is very much Captain America's movie, but they do make a case for both sides to a degree where it's like, oh, I can kind of see where Iron Man is coming from, but still you're Team Cap all the way because that's how the movie's supposed to be.
I feel like the movie does kind of eventually take sides, but I do feel like they do a good enough job of setting up this debate that like even afterward I was like talking to Christy and Rebecca like after the screening, and we were like, oh, so you know, having seen the movie now, like who do you think is right? And we actually had still like a pretty lively debate on it, and we actually kind of came down on the side of like they're both like kind of terrible choices, and they should have a lawyer sit down and compromise and hash out better terms. But that's a whole other movie that I don't think anyone wants to watch.
Well, another thing I really liked about it though is the way that they decided who would be on what side I thought was handled really well, because watching, for instance, the promotional materials, and I was like, hang on a sec, how the hell is Black Widow on the side of government surveillance? Because, like, she was the one that was like, hey, I'm going to give up all this private information. So it was weird to me that she would want a government controlling her again. But the argument she states in the film for why she makes that choice actually makes a lot of sense for her as a character. So I was really impressed with that. I feel like there's a lot of attention overall put to character moments. And for me, especially coming off Batman v Superman, and it's kind of impossible not to compare them because they're both huge superhero movies that are also about showdowns. But, like, Batman v Superman didn't have as many character moments to me where I felt like I really understood who those characters were. Like, Superman making eggs shirtless does not tell me anything very useful. But Vision making paprikash for Scarlet Witch does tell me something about those characters in that relationship.
I mean, I can see the comparisons, but Batman v Superman is an entirely different universe, and it's about bringing these heroes together, whereas this one's about tearing them apart. So I think that even though they kind of share a similar skeleton, they are trying to do different things. I think that this movie, kind of, to me at least, this, you know, I'm a huge Marvel fan. Like, Captain America: Winter Soldier is my favorite Marvel movie, and to me, this kind of splits the difference between Captain America the Winter Soldier and Avengers Age of Ultron. Like, it kind of feels like the movie that I wanted Avengers Age of Ultron to be, but it's still not as good to me as Captain America Winter Soldier, because I do think there's so much going on. But all that said, one of the things I really, really have to give them credit for is that, like, I mean, okay, if we're gonna talk TV terms, this, in a way, this is almost like a backdoor pilot for, like, the Black Panther and Spider-Man and, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier show, you know, because the thing is that this franchise is in a period of transition where they need to start kind of, like, gradually phasing out their old marquee superheroes like Iron Man and Captain America and start, like, building in the new Avengers, because, you know, Chris Evans can't do this shit until he's 60, which is how long Marvel is hoping these movies are gonna go. And I think that this movie did such an incredible job of, like, introducing you to Black Panther and making you so excited for him right away and understanding exactly who it is. Ditto Spider-Man, although I do have reservations about the idea that one of the heroes of this movie is like, you know what would be a great thing for me as a grown-up to bring into my life or death conflict with my friends? A teenage boy who knows literally nothing about what's going on. But we can talk about that later.
Sure.
I mean, like, honestly, I came in to this movie so excited to see Captain America and Iron Man, and when I walked out, the thing I was most excited about was Black Panther, and I continue to be so amazed at Marvel and the way that they build their characters and make you, like, love them. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for all that stuff too, but one of the things that impressed me most about this movie is that I didn't walk out favoring any one character in it. It's like there's something to love about each and every single one. Like, Cap will always have my heart until the day I die, but in the context of this movie, I walked out and I'm like, oh, I really dig what they did with Black Panther here. I do love what they did with Spider-Man. And I think that Iron Man, that Tony Stark would reel in a teenager. I think that's totally in character for him.
I think it's in character. I just think it's fucked up in a way that the movie never addresses.
I think it's fucked up too. I think they did a lot of brilliant stuff with Black Widow, Winter Soldier, Falcon.
Falcon,
you know,
gets
Hawkeye.
A lot of good one-liners.
Hawkeye
Falcon
gets a lot
is
of
a great character in this movie. I think he comes out of Captain America's shadow a little bit more, which is great because he's been in these movies for a while, but we haven't seen him do that much. But, like, this is the first time that I kind of felt like, oh, I could see how I feel like this is the first movie that I was like, I can kind of envision what the Avengers will look like if, for example, you know, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans, who are, like, kind of anchoring this right now. This is the first time that it's like, I can kind of see how it would still work. And, like,
it's funny going back to the end of Avengers Age of Ultron and watching that last scene with that last group together after having seen Civil War.
Yeah, I saw that today because it was on TV and I was just like, oh, those people.
I was rewatching it because I was editing together a supercut today, and it feels like everything doesn't quite align. But at the same time, that moment has so much more meaning to me now that I've seen what they've gone through in Civil War. I mean, I think that when you go back and you watch previous Marvel films, you could definitely see the fact that, you know, even though they announce movies X amount of years before they come out, these things are always changing. These characters are always changing, and where they're heading is always changing. And, you know, I guess that's for better or worse.
Can I take the temperature of the room real quick? So I feel like the last time we checked, we all said we were Team Captain America. Has anyone switched sides?
Nope.
I'm still Team Captain America, but I do think the movie makes good arguments for why you could be Team Iron Man.
I feel like I am Team Captain America because I like Captain America, but in terms of like just the ideology, I think his ideology is fucking bonkers and insane. I don't think that Iron Man's side is that much better, but it seems crazy to me that Captain America's argument is, well, I'm a pretty good person and I don't need regulations, so yeah, we should just let people do whatever they want.
It may be I totally buy that argument. He's Captain America. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Him,
but I don't buy yeah. that is a good policy for dealing with any crazy superhero that comes along, because by that logic, Loki should be allowed to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, yeah, Loki should be allowed to do whatever the fuck he wants.
There's two ways to look at Cap's argument, which is essentially personal responsibility, where on one hand, he's saying, like, we should be in control of our powers and our choosing and how to use them, which sounds like a, you know, women's health argument. Or conversely, if you think of them as one of the military guys references them as weapons, and they're like, you guys don't know where Hulk is. You don't know where Thor is. Like, if I lost 230 megaton whatevers, like, I'd be in trouble. And like, by comparing them to weapons, then it becomes like an NRA question. So I think it's a really interesting setup where they don't get too overtly political in the film about what these alliances are. And I honestly think it's purposely muddied like that. But I thought that it made it for a really interesting thing that I think you can walk away from. And like after the screening, we did have this conversation and say, like, if this were a real scenario, how would you back it? And at the end of the day, we came down to it would really depend on what the Sokovian Accords say.
Yeah, they don't go too into the nitty-gritty because, like, nobody wants a Marvel movie to turn into C-SPAN.
Batman v Superman spent a lot of time in a goddamn capital.
You shut your mouth. I still like Batman v Superman. I will still defend that movie. I can like both. Okay, this is
I actually like that scene that takes place in the capital.
And it contains multitudes. We got it.
Yeah. I'm like an onion. I have layers. But we should move into spoilers. So we can just go all fully unhinged and talk about whatever we want.
Briefly, for people who have not seen the movie, should they see the movie?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I definitely agree. Where does this rank on your Marvel movie list?
I will say about, I want to back it up a little tiny bit. You should watch this movie if you like the Marvel movies. If you have not been following the Marvel movies, probably don't watch this movie. Oh, yeah. It's not going to make that much sense.
Sorry, that was a given. Yeah, if you have not been following the Marvel movies, it's gonna, like I said to Angie, it'd be like reading the last chapter of a book and being like, I guess it was okay, but I didn't know what was happening. Like, well, that's on you. Like, you really need to keep up on these. But they're such an event that I do think it's just fun and you want to go and be a part of the audience experiencing it. But where does it rank?
Huh. Well, I'm going to disagree with that, actually. Even though I think you're going to get the most out of it if you've seen all the Marvel movies, obviously, I still think there's something to be said for this being like a first, too. You could still enjoy it. I think the story is contained within this movie well enough that you can get a satisfying experience from just this alone.
I think you can enjoy it, but I think that you will be missing a lot.
You'll definitely be missing a lot, but I think it does a pretty damn good job without going overboard with the exposition, referring back to things that happened in the past so you understand what these accords are and how it's tearing this group of people apart.
All right. Well, where do you think it ranks, Perry?
I'm still Guardians of the Galaxy number one, and I think I'm putting this right behind at number two.
What? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Oh.
I like it a lot. I haven't actually done like a personal ranking of the whole movies in a while, so I don't want to bore you guys while figuring that out, but I don't like it. As far as like the ensemble movies, I don't think it's as strong as The Avengers, but I think it's way better than Age of Ultron.
I will agree with both of those. I think that this is, out of the three Captain America movies, probably my least favorite, which is, I still liked it a lot, so don't let that, I don't want that to sound sure. like, oh, I didn't like this movie and I was horribly sad about it. But yeah, like I guess I would put it in like the mid to mid upper range, but it's definitely not one of at least as of right now, after seeing it once, I don't consider it one of my favorite Marvel movies.
I still can't tolerate bobblehead Steve Rogers though. One will never come close to the top of my list for that reason alone.
Well, let's dive
into
spoilers.
You liked Chappie, okay? So, yeah.
That's going to be the comeback.
We're getting real up
seriously.
In here.
Oh, well, you like Batman v Superman, so there.
We need Chrissy to have, like, an unpopular opinion that we can just, like, throw in her face. But we should move into the spoiler section, so.
Okay, yeah. So here's your warning. Spoiler warning for Captain America Civil War. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you might want to turn this off for now and then come back and listen to this chat later. So spoilers for Captain America Civil War. Who wants to go first?
I want to start off with one of my favorite surprise things from this was the fun chemistry slash conflict between Bucky and Falcon. Because of course they are frenemies, because they're both friends with Steve, but they also kind of sort of hate each other. And
well,
I
they have
love
no reason to like each other at all.
I thought that was great. My favorite, I think, and like that sounds so weird to say this is my favorite moment, but like when I was talking before about what I like so much about the way Marvel does their superhero movies is they always try to keep in perspective that these are people. And so you always get this little bit of lightness or comedy that reminds you that these are people. And in this one, for me, the biggest moment like that was when Bucky asks Falcon to move his seat up in the VW bug and he won't. And so then you just see this huge burly guy have to kind of readjust in the back seat to get comfortable. And I just thought that was so honest and funny and like not hokey. I just really thought it was great.
I just want to point out that that is a situation where someone was like, Steve, we need to go incognito, pick a car where you're not going to be noticed. And he was like, you know what would make sense for 3 6-foot tall men? A Volkswagen Beetle. And not
that's
even
also,
one of the new ones, like a really
old-timey
one.
That's also a moment like what we've been talking about. We brought it up on a couple episodes of the show where we would just want a movie of the superheroes kind of just chilling. Like, what do they do in their everyday
absolutely
life? Like, and that's totally an issue that they would deal with if they brought their shit into one car.
And honestly, though, but that's actually one thing that I mean, it's not the movie's fault that I wanted something and the movie didn't give it to me, but one thing that I wish it had less action and more moments like that. Like, it still had a good number of those, but there's a lot of action in this, and it's really long, and if you love the action, then it's great, but
the action in this movie is... The action in this movie, though, really? Oh, my God. That's exactly the opposite
Angie
of what have I been saying.
I
too,
Perry. I thought the action
think
was
it,
outstanding.
I think this action is some of the best movie action I've seen in a really long time.
Well,
it is just so... It's well choreographed. It's well shot. It's visceral. It's detailed. And it's so perfectly paired with all the sound design that every single time someone lands a punch, it almost knocked the wind out of me.
To the point where there's the helicopter scene, both times I've seen this, I ducked during the helicopter scene, even though I've seen it only in 2D. Like, that was so visceral to me that when the blades come at the screen, I was just like, oh, God.
The best special effect in that scene is when they make Chris Evans, like, adjust his arm so that you can see his, like, biceps bulging a little bit better.
I have
best
no
best
problem
like the
with
Russos
that.
Were like, we need to replace the cap ass gif. And so they were like, we need to come up with, a new way to objectify Chris Evans. And I think they did. That's hilarious.
I hope so. Hey, no one's shirtless in this movie. I just realized.
No one what?
No one How goes shirtless they? In this movie. It's like the first Marvel movie where no one's shirtless.
No. Yes.
Is Bucky ever shirtless? Maybe him.
Oh, maybe Bucky is shirtless. I feel like, yeah, he's shirtless. He's the shirtless in the mid-credit scene.
Ah, right. Okay, but actually, speaking of Bucky, one of the things that I want to talk about is, so the trailers are kind of selling this as an ideological difference between, like, there's Captain America and there's Iron Man and it's security and freedom and whatnot. But, like, the other thing that really, really drives them apart and makes this conflict so personal is that they're not just arguing over ideas. Bucky kind of also becomes, like, the thing that, like, the villain purposely brings Bucky into play so that he can start pushing these two characters apart, and it feels intensely personal, and that is, again, one of the things Marvel has always done well is I feel like they're at their best when their conflicts feel really personal, and it's why a lot of their villains haven't worked is because so many of the villains kind of are just like, I just want to take over the world because, I don't know, I'm a bad guy. But, like, in this one, it really works because you see that Captain America and Iron Man have a conflict where it means a lot to both of them for very different reasons.
And they're also dealing with
the consequences
of their actions.
I also think Sebastian Stan did a great job as Bucky. Sorry, go on.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that's true. He's, but I, it's also them dealing with the consequences of their actions in different ways. And I think it's also interesting because you see Captain America, who does not take the death toll that they've caused lightly, but he's a soldier. So I feel like he's coming at it from a different angle that Tony is. And I thought that was a really interesting conversation for them to have, where, like, there's one part where he's talking to Scarlet Witch and saying, like, basically, like, look, we save as many people as we can, and if you start being worried about the people we can't save, then maybe you don't go out and you don't save anybody. And I thought that was a good counter argument to what Tony was saying, which is, like, you know, basically Tony being really upset because realizing that that they're flawed, and I get that, but it's like, mm-hmm. Anyway, I really like the arguments in those conversations because it allows you to engage with these films on an intellectual level and not just a, like, this is fucking rad level.
It's a Scarlet great Witch's argument.
Character really helps that argument too, because she's kind of like the newcomer and someone who hasn't had all the experience that Cap and Iron Man have, and she's thrust into the situation and she screws up, and then it's kind of like, holy shit, how do you assess that? And you kind of see someone assessing it as though they are kind of, you know, young and immature, and how do you handle that while still, you know, addressing the ramifications of what she did as an adult, and then pairing that with Vision and his whole mentality. I really loved how all of that wove together, and I might have a slight crush on Vision.
How could you not? He looks so good in those V-neck sweaters.
He's like the sweetest thing ever, and he
messing with me.
No.
Oh, I think it's adorable. I have like a Drax like crush on Vision, where they're kind of so sweet and innocent that I can't help it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
the thing I want to say about that kind of, you know, you guys did a pretty good job of spelling out Captain America's perspective on it, but I feel like one thing the movie is really smart about is that, like, you completely get where he's coming from, and he's absolutely not wrong, but on the other hand, that doesn't really help people who were the casualties of these things that happened, and the movie doesn't ever kind of act like it's, you know, oh, these people are wrong to, like, be mad at the Avengers for this kind of thing happening. In fact, the villain, it turns out, is... Now that we're in spoilers, we can talk about it. It's Daniel Brühl, and he is a character whose entire motivation is that his family died in, like, the whole Sokovia situation, and he's very, very bitter about at the Avengers and, like, very angry that he blames them for what happened, so he's trying to tear them apart. By the way, I'm not entirely convinced that his villainous plot makes that much sense, but I feel like after seeing Jesse Eisenberg now, do the thing in Batman v Superman, I'm like, what, I'm going to tell other villains that their plots don't make sense? All right.
That's fair. I watching it the first time, I was having such a good time and I was so engaged in what was going on that I honestly didn't pay too much attention to what was going on with the villain's plot. But when I watched it the second time, there are huge plot holes and huge leaps in logic that I'm like, wait, why does he know to do this? Why does he know to be there? How is this happening? What's going on there? Why doesn't he just use a videotape? Like, there's a lot of things that don't hold water in that. But my thing, and I said this with Batman v Superman, I don't necessarily care if a villain's plot totally makes sense if I'm being entertained the whole time. So it's a fault that I don't personally hold as a big problem.
His plot also serves the other characters so well that it doesn't matter. And it is really interesting to think about what he's up to in this movie. Having just watched Age of Ultron, and when you see, like, that whole mass of land just fall, and think about all the people that never made it out of their homes, and, like, having seen where some of their family and loved ones ended up in here. I mean, this to me is just the perfect example of when a cinematic universe is at its best, when one movie serves the other so, so well.
Yeah, I think
that's true.
Well, I think it serves them very well, but Angie did point out that Scarlet Witch, which if she hadn't said that, I wouldn't have thought of, Scarlet Witch literally went through the same thing in the last movie, and, like, now we don't mention her brother at all, and she's, like, it all seems theoretical, this feeling of loss, so, like, that's an issue. But overall, I do think it's really fun. I think they brought people in a really cool way. I really like that Black Widow gets some really fun lines in it and gets to be smart and impactful, even though she's not one of the, you know, main characters in this one as much. But yeah, I think Civil War overall is really hilarious and funny and exciting and at times really heart-wrenching.
I feel like my biggest problems with it are things that I don't really think can be fixed easily. Basically, they boil down to this is an installment of a very, very large franchise that needs to pay off a lot of things that came before and set up the stuff that comes after. It was a huge problem with Age of Ultron. I think this movie does a lot better job of that. I wish it was a little bit more smaller and self-contained, but, you know, that's just me. Overall, I think I had a really good time, and I think that this movie does do... I think this movie does actually genuinely move even the characters we know in new directions, and that's pretty exciting.
I'm gonna kind of highlight what you said, that it could have done a little better, and I think this movie does an absolutely brilliant job of connecting all of these characters over an issue that to me felt very small and personal, something that I could really wrap my head around while still affecting the world on a really big scale. I mean, this to me is what Age of Ultron kind of should have been.
Yeah.
Yes, agree. Yeah.
I think that's true. And guys, I'm really happily delighted that I really liked Peter Parker in this. Based on the trailer, I was not expecting much.
You know, the only thing I will say about Spider-Man in this, and I said this about the trailer when it first came out, is that I don't like the digital effect on his costume. It looks exactly like it does in the trailer, in the final feature. I thought maybe it was just unfinished. Something about the eyes in particular, that they move like that, feels wrong and cartoonish to me.
Well, I think once it becomes clear that Tony made the suit, I can let that go. Because I can believe that he can, you know, assert something that would affect that way.
I don't know. That's one thing that's going to need a lot of selling for me.
I can see it being an issue in the standalone Spider-Man film if it continued. But in this, you see it so briefly and he's usually in motion. I don't know. I honestly just didn't really think about it at all. You know, I think that what's important is that Tom Holland is great casting and they seem to have a really good beat on who this character is and how he fits in this universe. And it's not a fucking origin story. Oh my God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he actually looks like a teenager, and he actually talks and how refreshing like is a that? Teenager. He was very, and he
but
felt
it's like almost worse because again, then I'm like, oh, Tony, man old enough to be this boy's father, just gonna drag this kid into your life and death conflict with other.
But I totally
people.
Believe
that's
Tony would do
idea.
That. I totally yeah. believe that.
I believe like, that he would do that, but I feel like the movie acts like that's okay, and it's not. Like, it's kind of like when, you know, when people were complaining, like, oh, Batman is so mean, and Batman v Superman, and I'm like, well, it's in character, and people were like, yeah, but it seems kind of weird that nobody's calling him on it, and I kind of felt like that here.
I maintain I don't think a lot of people fighting Spider-Man understand how young Spider-Man is until maybe the Empire line.
Oh, I'm not saying that, like, Captain America should feel bad about it, because he literally doesn't know who he is. I think that the movie is, like, weirdly okay with, like, Tony Stark specifically being like, I'm going to recruit a working class teenager that knows literally nothing about this conflict.
They're
my
desperate. Come
war.
On. They're trying
yeah, no,
to
I
save
took that
the
as a
world.
Sign that he's like spiraling out of control a little bit. Like the same way that Pepper, like him and Pepper breaking up seems in there solely to be like, yeah, Tony's kind of losing it. Like I thought
but
that
the movie
those
treats the whole thing as like, yes, it's awesome that he recruited this small child into his war to risk his life for a cause he knows nothing about. I don't know. I'm
all
sorry,
right.
I'm sorry. We're just going
I think this
circles.
Is a conversation for another podcast. All you need to take from this conversation is that Spider-Man can't have a costume that has eyes that moves, but Vision can wear sweaters. Now that we have settled that, that is a wrap on episode 113 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You know where to find us. We have our podcast on iTunes, where it would be great if you can rate, subscribe, and comment. Then we have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter, at Popcorn Prosecco. Please like us on Facebook as well, and you can catch all three of us on the internet too. Christy, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I write all over the web, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com, and I can be found on Twitter, at Christy Puchko. That's KRISTYPUCHKO.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter, at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me on collider.com, and my Twitter handle is PNemiroff. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
We try to save as many people as we can. Sometimes that doesn't mean everybody.